It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Coming up about an hour from now, Paris Denard is going to be rejoining us. We've not talked to good old Paris in a while since he was one of the black voices for Trump. I'm sure he's still black, and I'm sure he's still a voice for something. He's currently working for the RNC as his spokesperson. We're going to be talking about Juneteenth, and I'm not really familiar what his position is. That's going to be the fun of this, and also bringing in somebody. Not really sure what her position is overall on Juneteenth, so we'll have a little fun with that, and I'll sit in the middle and listen to the two of them talk. You want another quirky story? Why not? Last one was kind of quirky. Sad if it's true about Nina Simone. There's a cryptocurrency craze going on throughout the country. We have these stories from time to time. And it's currently minted a new generation of very wealthy investors, some of them literally overnight. That's what happened to one Georgia man. Listen to this. You talk about somebody having their karma lined up. Chris Williamson invested $20 in a cryptocurrency called Rocket Bunny. I kid you not, Rocket Bunny. And this cryptocurrency did whatever Rocket Bunnies do. It multiplied like a Rocket Bunny. So he did that at night. He woke up in the morning, looked at his phone to check how his investment fared in the evening, rubbed the gunk out of his eyes, and made the determination that he was a trillionaire. Why am I laughing? He says, I looked at it again, and I'm like, at this point, I fell out of my bed, literally. And I run to my desk, and I'm logging in to the Coinbase app and the stuff I'm talking about to my friends. And I get one of my friends on the phone, and I'm like, dude, you got to help me figure out something right now. I need to sell this right now. Sell what? Well, that was all part of the thing of $1 trillion or so. Williamson said he attempted to move the cryptocurrency to another wallet, but it wasn't showing up in the same place. He then contacted Coinbase, and I don't understand a lot of this stuff, which replied with a short answer, acknowledging that it was looking into the issue, and he also reached out to Rocket Bunny, but never heard from the cryptocurrency back that is called Rocket Bunny. So Williamson kept his sense of humor on the matter. You know, when you look at it, it's like, there's no way. There's no way I'm even going to get close to that amount of money. Williamson even tweeted, you know, Elon Musk, with the hope that, you know, this billionaire, this entrepreneur, might be called in to help on his trillion-dollar question. I thought for sure he trolls people all the time, which he does, by the way. And I'm hoping he actually saw it and maybe might be following my situation and can give me a couple of pointers. But I don't know. I don't know anything about Elon Musk's wallet. So Williamson said he'd never had that kind of money. Who does? But he would help people, especially with family members. But for now, he remains in limbo. His account is frozen. He cannot withdraw, purchase, or trade while he waits to hear back from the company. His friend, who lives in Jasper, Georgia, bought the exact same coin but didn't experience the exact same windfall. And that is where the story ends, my friend. We will our friends, hope there's more than one of you out there, we'll never know if this guy, well, I'm sure if it is for real, came up with trillions or not. A $20 investment one night, looking into his, you know, cryptocurrency wallet the next morning, and he's a trillionaire. How does that stuff even happen? How is that even worth that? I don't understand this. I try to understand it. Drives me crazy trying to understand it. maybe I'd be better off suing, you know, seven airlines like somebody's doing. This is a frequent flyer today filing a lawsuit against seven airlines: Southwest, Alaska, Allegiant, Delta, Frontier, JetBlue, Spirit, accusing them of discriminating against travelers who can't wear masks because of medical issues. I am one. Lucas Wall of Washington, D.C. can't wear a mask because he has generalized anxiety disorder. Okay. Now, this is according to the complaint filed in the U.S. District Court in Orlando, Florida. He filed a similar complaint against the government agencies, including the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Now, federal mask mandates for travelers have been in place for months. We all know this. All right. Airlines have had their own mask requirements, and the Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, in late May said, you know, mask mandates were in place as a matter of respect for flight crews and others. That's what he called it. His words, a matter of respect. And Wall says he's been stranded at his mother's retirement community in the villages in Florida because he can't fly without a mask. He can't do it. And this is according to the court filings, including the medical paperwork detailing the diagnosis. It takes a medication for that, and I'm still prone to the panic attacks. This was in an interview this week. You know, one of the triggers is any time my breathing is obstructed, that brings a feeling of claustrophobia and a complete sense of unease. Now, he bought the tickets for eight flights this summer, according to the complaint. He requested that a mask waiver on the airline's websites be implemented so he can fly. When he went to the Orlando International Airport for his first flight on June the 2nd, he basically recorded his interactions with members of the Transportation Security Administration that were there to give him, I guess, some grief. To get on, you need a mask, the TSA officer was saying. After a back and forth with the TSA official reports and Southwest employees, he missed the flight. And he said, you know, that the airline's requirements violate the Air Carrier Access Act, which protects passengers with disabilities from discrimination. And he signed an emergency temporary restraining order letting him travel without a mask. JetBlue, on Wednesday, filed in opposition to a temporary restraining order, saying Wall's complaint is entirely without merit. Only the Department of Transportation can investigate or enforce an ACAA regulation. And this is what the airline said of their filing. Plaintiff cites that he needs emergency relief from the court because otherwise he's going to be stranded at his mother's place forever in a place known as the Villages. So writes the JetBlue lawyer, Susan Gilbert. Wall said he expects that the initial defense, which amounted to a government agency conspiring with the airlines to ground travelers who can't wear masks. Those of you who can't wear masks due to respiratory problems and or whatever, do you have any sympathy for this guy at all? And is this something that you have gone after yourself, trying to get some kind of waiver where you don't have to wear a mask when you fly? I mean, I can identify. I can't do it. All right. Now, a Delta spokesperson said that via email, while Delta has no specific comment on this complaint, the actions Delta began taking in 2020 to address and protect people and customers during the pandemic are a part of a longstanding commitment to high standards of care, and there's nothing more important at Delta than safety. A spokesperson added, Delta's mask-wearing requirements are for the customers and for our people. It remains in place, as does the federal mandate for mask wearing with certain people of all modes of public transportation. So it doesn't sound like he's going to get out of this one too easy. Over at Allegiant, which had its roots in Fresno, most of you probably know that. Spokesperson there declined to comment, you know. And he also said he's been comfortable in the villages where he's stuck with his mom. But with the arrival of summer, that means unbearable weather. And he's desperate to get out of there and get home. Where's home? The Rocky Mountains. Or anywhere else the airlines will take him. I'm sure they'd love to get rid of him one way or the other. He says it's been, you know, interesting following the lawsuits. And we'll see where this goes. I guess we'll all see where it goes. He also added, you know, I mean, you can also say as a 44-year-old living in a retirement community, as much as I love my mom, it's not the greatest place to be. And we'll see what happens to this guy and if he ever gets back to the Rockies and if he's, you know, successful suing seven airlines because he can't breathe with a mask. Many of you have called the program before, this program, and said, I can't breathe with a mask. Some of you have even said you've had to cancel flights because you can't breathe with a mask. I think there's a lot to that. And there has to be some sort of, you know, some sort of condition that allows people who have, you know, bad lungs or whatever, or some sort of, you know, a problem that legitimately detracts them from wearing a mask because of health reasons, they should be able to fly. I mean, it's just my position, and I could be legally dead wrong. It wouldn't be the first time. Comments, if indeed you have any, 490-5858, 800-776-5858. It's News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ. I'm Roy Appleton. All right. Welcome back. Phone numbers to yak about any of this stuff, 490-5858 and 800-776-5858. Coming up, stories about Mike Lindell. Of course, Mr. Pillow's always in the news, isn't he? Also, stories coming up about West Nile mosquitoes in the city of Fresno. Not good. Not good at all. You know, I mean, I could have been attacked by some of those years gone by. Still not sure if that's what it was that nailed me, but it wasn't pretty at all. Also coming up in the next hour, Paris Denard, who's, you know, with the RNC now, and he used to be one of the, I think was the co-leader of Black Voices for Trump during the days of the election, the exciting days of the election. Don't you miss him? I miss him so much. But there's a number of COVID things in the news today. I'm not sure what I want to do with them. I mean, some of the stuff is important, but, you know, I'm so burnt out on COVID news. I just like, you know, I mean, according to a scientist at the WHO, he says we're not going to be needing any COVID boosters at all, you know, but I don't know that I trust them. I have no idea of my level of trust in the World Health Organization anymore. But getting to this dandy story about Mike Lindell. Yeah, and Mr. Pillow guy, you know. He's the CEO of that group, My Pillow, of course, that business. He's claimed his encounter with the former president, Donald Trump, back in 2016, is now through divine appointment. Yes. The fact that he connected with the former president is through divine appointment, whatever that might be. Now, Newsweek reported at the Health and Freedom Conference in Tampa, Florida, Lindell said, divine things started happening to me. I was picked out of 12 people to pray with the former 2016 presidential candidate and Trump's former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Ben Carson, in a room at the National Prayer Breakfast. Lindell said also, one prophet guy, I mean, that's what he called him, one prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, not the other one. One prophet guy told me, a couple of you in the room are going to become great friends and change. Change what? Oh, you'll change the course of history. Oh. Now, Lindell said this Prophet guy was a little different. He added that, you know, anyway, these divine appointments kept happening to me all the way up until that time that I met Donald Trump in the summer of 2016. And according to Newsweek, before Lindell told this story, a huge cheer went up in the audience of this get-together in Florida after, you know, he popped up on the stage. Lindell's comments appear to suggest that there was some sort of holy connection to his mission to meet Donald Trump and then overturn the 2020 U.S. election results, which, you know, have been ongoing for several months, and he will not get off of that bandwagon. There are a number of people that will not get off of that bandwagon. You know, the Trump loyalists, the loyalists continue to make headlines for spreading these claims, which are still pretty much unfounded, you know, about the election. And now the fact that Lindell is saying that he doesn't have the proof that he claimed he always had, but now it's some sort of divine reason, divine appointment that put him and Trump together. I think that's how he's trying to dodge the evidence question on the election. So, yeah, you know, conspiracy theories, they're getting crazier and crazier. Now they have to yank God in. So the pillow entrepreneur holds, you know, regular rallies across the U.S. and is being sued for $1.3 billion by, you know, voting technology companies. Dominion is one of them, for repeatedly spreading the claims about the integrity of their equipment and their involvement in the election. And $1.3 billion, that's a lot of damn pillows, isn't it? How are you? Say hello to me. It's on the air. It's like we're here, you know.
Oh, hello, Ray.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Your hair's longer.
That's the secret of women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I told you I had a little surprise coming in later. She hasn't been in here for a couple of years. Normally, you hear her call in when she's, you know, a caller. It's Tara. Yeah. You say Tara or Tara? What do you say?
Tara. I don't even know how to act. It's been so long since I've been here.
It's been a few years, yeah.
Yes. And it's good
to
see you.
I just have her come in and talk about, you know, things that are different. Like Juneteenth, which we're going to talk about with Paris Denard in the next hour. Did you do anything for Juneteenth?
No, not this year. No.
How come?
I haven't done anything for Juneteenth.
Have you ever?
Not really. I didn't find out about Juneteenth probably until my early 20s.
Yeah.
And it was just a couple of events, just like a day out on the green. And,
yeah.
And so I never really did much with it, and I haven't been to a Juneteenth anything in years. I keep saying I was going to go visit Allensworth State Park, but
yeah,
still have never made it. And something always comes up on that day anyway. So, uh-huh. But I've never seen it as a national. It was always a local, regional thing. So for me, it wasn't a big issue. And again, with my history, my legacy, what's more important to me is my grand six father's story and his involvement with the Emancipation Proclamation,
mm-hmm.
his abolitionist history, risking his life to free other slaves.
You're talking about Uncle Tom.
Yes. And not to mention, not just that, but building a whole community in Canada. He didn't just get them out of slavery. He was the last stop on the Underground Railroad, but he built a community.
Yeah.
He educated them.
Yeah.
They were landowners. The museum still stands today. He interacted with the Queen of England. That's a legacy. That's my legacy. And so for me, Emancipation Day, if we were going to do anything, January 1. That's a new year. That's a whole new world. We have to look at it more inclusively in a broader aspect to it. So I don't even think about it because it just, the places celebrated. California is a different beast. We didn't grow up with it. Oakland probably more, mm-hmm. so because of larger concentration. I'm sure certain parts of Southern California where it's heavily concentrated, more urban. And I think more urban areas tend to celebrate it more. But for me, it was kind of a disconnect because when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, the 13th Amendment, everything ratified. For me, that was it. My great grandmother was the first freeborn in her family, and she was born August, September of 1865. She was the first freeborn. So for me, that's my history. That's my legacy. And I don't hold on to the past.
And a lot of people that called the other day that were, and maybe you heard them talking about, you know, its relevance as a holiday, or saying that the anniversary of the 13th Amendment was a more appropriate day than this day picked out of history. You know, the 19th, when General Gordon, whatever his name was, popped into Galveston and said, hey, you're all free.
Right. Well, you think about it, here's the part of the problem. We're still living in two separate worlds. You know, this is one America, but there's a black America and there's a white America. And black America has a lot of healing to do, but also have to let down their guard and barriers and stop self-segregating to the point where we can't have that unification in this nation. The 13th Amendment, there were so many lives lost during the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Bloodshed everywhere. How much is enough? What more do you want? What more do you want? People died, and people died who did not look like us to help secure freedom. What more do you want?
Hold that thought, because we're going to take a break for news. But I want to come back to self-segregate, too. That one was an interesting term. We will continue on KMJ after we update news. Here's Liz. We are talking a little bit about Juneteenth. It's come and gone, but it was the first time it's come and gone, you know, in terms of being a legal holiday out of the 45 legal holidays, I guess we have now. And I've invited my friend Tara in, who's a frequent caller. Tara, I never get it right. You know, to talk about this. I mean, is it strong, you know, conservative black woman? Is this anything that resonates with her? But you used a term, and we're going to grab calls in a couple of minutes. Self-segregate, you know, black people are self-segregating. What did you mean by that?
We're facing, with this generation, my father came up through the Jim Crow South, saw his best friend lynched, and he never said, give me reparations, give me this. He said, make the playing field level, I'll get mine. And that's how he raised us.
That's beautiful.
Don't wear your skin color on your sleeve. And I've heard African Americans say, I will never work with a white person. I will never do this. I will never do that. But on college campuses.
The mayor of Chicago.
Yeah. So you're now, give me black only dormitories, black only this, black only that. My father marched in Selma. He saw black women hosed down. So I'm not oblivious to the history. But I don't wear it as a weapon to fight the rest of society. And to say black only this, when you segregate yourself off, you're closing yourselves off from individuals that are your allies. You never know where your resources or blessings are going to come from. What do you have to sustain yourself? Give us our own black state. How are you going to run the state? How are you going to keep water on? Glen Allen, Mississippi has no mayor, has no running water. I teach mindset of an entrepreneur. It's a paradigm shift. That particular town was doing better back in the 50s, the 30s to the 50s, than it is now. $500 for a water bill. How are you going to survive? Mm-hmm. Where's the money coming from? They don't think the long term. It's my emotions. We're playing to the victocrat, hashtag victocrat syndrome. When are you going to get over it? They don't want meritocracy. They don't want to have to produce. I'm entitled because I'm here and what the history did to me. You're not the history. You're here and now. And so saying that it has to go back to the only, you stay over there, you stay over there. And no, that's a divided United States of America, number one. But my ancestors did not die. Dr. King's legacy, you're trampling on it. They did not die and give their lives for us to be isolated.
For those people who don't know, and it might be fitting to tell this story again, the true story of Uncle Tom, you know, and how he relates to you and who he is, and there really was an Uncle Tom.
Uncle Tom, Reverend Josiah Henson,
mm-hmm.
Is my mom's great-great-great-great-grandfather. He was the Uncle Tom of Harriet Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin. She did a narrative. She wrote the stories of slaves. She took their stories, but Josiah happened to be the one, the central character, and she patterned the story off of his life. What happened, they perverted it. The minstrel shows perverted the story and made him out to be this brown nose, kiss butt, just wimp of a man.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather rescued. He could have gotten his freedom several times, but he elected to keep. He was a man of his word and a man of integrity. He was a minister. So instead of running off and leaving the other slaves that he was entrusted, he had to carry them into the deeper South. And he knew going into the deeper South that they were not going to come out alive. He could have gone Ohio and had his freedom. He kept his word to his master and he took them down there. But he took the beating. He was beat so bad that he couldn't even raise his arms above shoulder level. And he was an incredible, strong man, still sacrificed everything. He was an abolitionist, helped that Underground Railroad, brought those slaves and gave them freedom in Canada. Dresden, Ontario, Canada, Uncle Tom's Cabin is there. That's my legacy. Lincoln knew about my grandfather when he penned the Emancipation Proclamation. It was on his desk next to him when he was writing it out. He knew who Josiah Henson was. To me, that means more.
That's huge.
That's
gigantic. Huge. Yes.
And there's more history. In fact, he's coming back to America. We finally are bringing my grandfather home right to and it's a small two-bedroom. It was like a two-bedroom. We always think these plantations are these huge, monstrous. This was a small cabin-looking home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being turned into, it has been turned into a museum. With COVID hit, we were supposed to go back for the grand opening and all that. But he's coming back. And in Charles County, Maryland, it is part of the curriculum, starting fourth grade up, about Josiah Henson, Uncle Tom. America, he has come back home where he rightfully deserves honor.
And there was that great PBS special about him.
Yes, yes.
That I recorded. I've watched it about 10 times.
Yes, and the gentleman, I can't remember, the Don Settlement, I can't remember his name now. He was there with us. We actually had the opportunity to go to the home in 2018, I want to say. I think it was 2018, 2019. And we got a tour. We were treated so well. His descendants that came and PBS, the whole, it was really nice. The book is excellent.
I noticed that a great many of the descendants, at least this was the portrayal of the PBS special, were white. It was like, get a clue, people.
When we walked into we got there Thursday night and we walked into the family reception, we were looking around. We're like, wait a minute. Why are we the only black people?
Where are the black faces,
So Josiah had two wives. His first wife, Charlotte, we don't know where those, I think she had primary five, and I want to say they were all boys, or four boys, one girl, something like that. We don't know where her children are. I come from the lineage of Nancy, his second wife. And one of his daughters married Dutch. And so from there, that's where the white side came in. Heavy Dutch, and there was some circular back in marrying back into the family. So I have double cousins. I mean, it's a long, long trail. But my grandmother Julia Anna Kersey was Josiah's granddaughter.
Wow!
And so we have Jackie Jonah Kersey's husband is said to be a part of that Kersey lineage.
Oh, really?
Yes. So
that name sounded familiar.
Yes. So that whole area, and then. Sinclair, my grandfather Sinclair Lawson, he is Josiah's great grandson, and on his side, the first black ophthalmologist came out of that side, and his last name is, I can't think of his first name right now, but I know he practiced in Canada in the Detroit area.
Cool.
So it's a huge legacy, and I think as African Americans, we need to focus more on the legacy, focus more on getting out of being, still seeing yourselves as inferior. And we're on the level field. The field is level. Get out there.
Yeah.
Get out there. Get out there and do. Hashtag skin color does nothing. People do.
Great. Phone calls. Rick, you're on KMJ. What's going on?
Yeah, I was going to say, the lady that was just talking, very intelligent, a lot of good information. So, yeah. But I called in to tell you about the face masks on planes. If they wear those plastic shields that they wear in front of their face instead of a mask, that's perfectly legal, too, and they can breathe on that.
Yeah.
And with the June 18th thing, people are kind of forgetting everything. Hey, we got another holiday, we got another holiday, but you don't do away with the 4th of July. And when Lincoln signed those orders and that bill back in 1862, that was for all the slaves, not just the black slaves, which I think that lady mentioned part of that too. You had a lot of white and Chinese and Hispanic slaves and stuff like that at the same time. Not quite as many, but you had a bunch at the time. So,
okay, could be. I mean, I don't know. Thank you, sir. The exact verbiage of the... Of the amendment, if it was inclusive of, if he named particular races, if Lincoln did or not, don't know. But
it was all just strictly all slaves. So,
all right. Thanks for the call. When it comes to Juneteenth and this first celebration of this year, because it was made a holiday very quickly, there were some, and I mentioned this. I don't know if you heard this earlier or heard it on the news this morning. Some mayors of some cities have decided, okay, well, we can afford this one. Let's spend some money on this very quickly. But gee whiz, we didn't plan for the 4th of July because of the so-called pandemic. Yeah, right, sure. So let's cancel that, you know. And my point was, if we had not been, you know, if there was not an emancipation of Americans, we wouldn't have been around to, you know, free the individuals that were brought over here against their will. So, I mean, why do away with that one? That one is all about political correctness. It has nothing to do with, you know, budgetary planning, for crying out loud. Obviously, because did these people have all crystal balls knowing that Juneteenth was going to be a holiday within 2 days, and all of a sudden they had the budget to have, you know, city get-togethers? You know my point.
Well, the irony is I'm hearing that in the Platinum Plan. This is what's funny. Trump and Ice Cube were working on the Platinum Plan. You want to talk about black independence. Bob Johnson was working on a retirement plan with Trump. You want to talk about black liberation and independence. Y'all threw away your independence with that policy that they were working on. But I was told that Juneteenth was in there. So either way, it was in the works being talked about. But you don't throw away the nation's history. Okay, America codified the outlawing of slavery in our Constitution. I don't know how many other countries have done that, but it was outlawed. That's a bigger deal. That's a bigger deal. Slavery is still going on. And we forget, America did not invent slavery as one of the, was it Cain, Hillary's former buddy?
Oh, yeah.
Saying that America invented slavery. Excuse me, how many years were the children of Israel enslaved? And who enslaved them? What nation enslaved them?
Yeah.
Come on now, the Barbary Coast. Europeans were enslaved. Nobody talks about that slavery. We still have slavery going on in Africa right now. Who is talking about that? But, oh, let's stop and focus on America bad, America bad, America evil, America evil. Slavery in itself, period, no matter where it's done, is evil. But again, poor is going to be merchandise to the rich. No matter how you view slavery, those that have are going to use that don't have, because they need those that don't have to make sure they keep having. So it's always going to be an inequity. And I don't care what system you're under, it is going to, man is imperfect.
Yeah.
You want Marxism and communism, guess what, fool? That's slavery 2.0. That's Great Reset.
Break time at KMJ. We will continue in just a few after we make a buck or so. 490-5858, 800-776-5858. It's Ray Appleton here. Tara is sitting over there. She's my friend, and you're listening to both of us. So there, we'll be right back. Hi. Coming up in the next hour to talk about Juneteenth, Paris Denard, who was one of the black voices for Trump, and on the program frequently during the whole election period. And we haven't talked to Paris, I don't think, since the defeat of the former president, the election of the new one. So we'll get the whole nine yards from him and his feelings now, and also about this thing that we're talking about now, this new holiday, Juneteenth. Kenny, phone calls. Kenny, you're on KMJ. Hello there.
Hello, Ray. Hey, Tara. About the Juneteenth, the thing that I don't have a problem with there being another federal holiday, being a worker that gets paid for them. But I do have a problem with what they tacked on to the end of it, Independence Day. We already have one of those, and that's a little divisive, in my opinion. You know, we've got the celebration of our independence, 1776. Now they want to put this as another Independence Day. So now it's going to be what? The colonizers' Independence Day and Black America's Independence Day?
Something along those lines. Yeah, it is. And the fact that Biden was so Johnny One Note on that the other day when he was creating this thing, is like, dude, you know, no, that's not going to cut it. So hopefully over time that'll settle down a little bit. But
well, I take my assignment is to bridge the divide. You know, I had a point when I was in college, I was pretty radical. I didn't know that there was a Black national anthem, and the peer pressure, I got mocked because I didn't know. So I learned the song, of course, and I became pretty radical, hardcore. But it's a lot of bitterness and hatred that sets in, and that eats at you. And who wants to live that way? But calling it Independence Day, no. Emancipated, yes, freedom was given. The 13th Amendment codified. So what are we talking about? We have it. America has Independence Day that gave us a nation.
Mm-hmm.
The nation is, and not don't take this as a negative, the nation is more important than saying that group of people that didn't know now becomes equated with the nation, when the broader context was the slaves were already free. You guys just didn't have social media, cell phones, or phones for that matter to tell you that you were free. But now we're taking that, but that's what the left does. It's political. Throw you a bone, and I won't talk about what they're doing with all this open border. Black folks, you're about to lose your political capital. I'll just put it right there. We'll give you this bone and make you happy and keep using you to play on your emotions. But look at the broader aspect. It just doesn't equate. It's political.
Don't get me started on the border. Don't get me started on the border at all.
But it's all political.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is. So, I mean, the creation of this particular holiday, you think that's a political creation? Or is it cut from history, legitimately?
There is
a little bit of both.
It's both. It's both. Yes, it's important that that all slaves knew that they could leave the plantation physically. Now we're dealing with what I call mental slavery and bondage. You're free. Act like it. Man doesn't owe you anything. Man doesn't give you your liberty. He doesn't take it away. That's a God-given right. God validated us when he put us in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to go looking for white people to validate our existence. You matter. You are important because you are here. All of us are here. We wouldn't be here if the Creator did not want us to be here. That's the first thing. But the way they did it was political. They didn't bring up the discussion. They didn't bring up the marriage. They didn't say, okay, we want to do this. Fine, make it a recognized holiday. But the federal, if you're going to give, I'm already, the bureaucracy gets too much time off anyway. They're off every weekend and pay too much of our money to give us the grief that they give us. But if we were going to make it a national holiday, Emancipation Day should have been dealing with the Emancipation Proclamation or the 13th Amendment. But yes, you could say we'll recognize it. We'll make it a holiday. We'll make it another day. You can celebrate it if you want to. But to come around and say that it's now an Independence Day, you're trying to equate it with the founding of a country where a war, the revolution happened, lives were lost to give us a nation, as with the Civil War, lost to give us, make that one nation. It just, for me, it's not well thought out. It's political. It was done divisively.
Gotcha.
That's my biggest problem.
We have to check out again when we come back.
Paris Denard will join us, formerly with the Black Voices for Trump, now with the RNC, talking about, again, from his point of view, Juneteenth on KMJ.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.